Hello, this is Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com, and I'm talking today with Johnny Torres. We're live in the boot room, and we welcome you. Thanks, Johnny, for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Strom.
Hey, it's good to be here, and I just want to start out with the journey that has led you to Milwaukee presently, and you have a long journey all over the world, it seems, and we'd just love to hear a little bit about that as we kind of get to know you a little bit.
Like you said, I was born in Medellin, Colombia, and migrated to Houston, Texas in 1981, where I grew up playing and went to high school. And then went over to Omaha, Nebraska to play for the Creighton Blue Jays. Was able to play there for 4 years under Bob Worming and Bob Simon. And then I was fortunate enough to get drafted out to New England, where I was for the next 4 years. Then got traded to Miami and played there for half a season before they folded. And the last 4 years I've been playing with Milwaukee indoor soccer team, and I've played a couple seasons outdoor with the Minnesota Thunder in the A-League. And now I'm year-round in Milwaukee playing with their indoor team and outdoor team. So, like you said, it definitely has been quite a ride.
Well, you've traveled up from Colombia. What was it like being a little kid in Colombia? Did you start kicking the ball back then? And then what led to the steps that led you to get to Creighton? I mean, what were some of the things that really influenced you as a soccer player?
Right. Well, definitely being born in Colombia was I'd say the number one influence that led me towards soccer. You know, soccer there is just all over the place. Just like if you were to drive around to some suburb in the States and see kids having basketball hoops out, playing football, you know, on their lawns or whatnot, you see the same thing in Colombia, except it's with soccer.
Huh.
And the other reason, too, I think that I was influenced into soccer was I had a couple of uncles that played semi-pro, and my dad played semi-pro, so I guess you could say I pretty much had soccer in my blood. As far as ending up in Omaha, Nebraska for college, in my teens I was playing for our state teams and regional teams, and one of our coaches for our regional team was actually Brett Simon, and he's the one that scouted and took me over to Creighton, which was unbelievable time that I had there in the 4 years.
When you were growing up and you got involved in the state team level, I'm assuming that's the Olympic Development Program, the ODP
right.
stuff. You know, being a kid out of Columbia, you started playing. Did you just kind of figure, hey, I'm having a good time? And did you even know what was happening in terms of, you know, the dreams of playing college and then professional?
Well, to be honest with you, ever since I was a little kid, even 4 or 5 years old, my ultimate dream was always to become a professional soccer player. One of the highlights I had in Columbia was when my parents would take me to the stadium to watch our local team, which was the Medellin Red Devils, which is the team that I follow. But ultimately, I knew I always wanted to be a professional player. Now, once I was old enough to be on the state developmental program, I knew that it could be something that would help me, hopefully, with exposure and some of the coaches, which were, you know, considered to be some of the top coaches in the state. So, you know, it was definitely something, being a professional soccer player was definitely something that I always wanted and I always worked towards.
Hey, to make this a little more unique, this interview in terms of other ones I've been able to do, I'd love to talk about the international flavor that you've been able to experience. Now, we'll get to the futsal stuff, which will be quite different, but I've been down to Ecuador, and I was able to see some games down there in Quito, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. It was so charged. So tell me a little bit about the passion of South American soccer and how you perhaps see it developing here in the United States.
Well, you know, playing in other countries, you know, especially where soccer's number one, it's just unbelievable to be able to play in front of those kind of fans. You know, when you're out there on the field, it might be the 40th minute and you might be getting a little tired, but when you look up in the stands and those fans, you know, you got 20,000, 25,000 screaming fans that aren't even sitting down. They're all on their feet. They're chanting.
Right.
They're singing. It just gives you a surge of energy. You know, it's like, how could you be out there and not want to run?
Right.
Be out there and not want to, you know, give it your 110%. It's an unbelievable feeling, and I think that that's something that the United States is working towards.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's jump to this futsal thing. When we'll get back to playing in the in the MLS and then in the A-League and the indoor. But I'd like to hear a little bit about this futsal world that you've been able to be a part of.
Yeah, you know, for me it all started about, I'd say, I think it was 2000. I was invited by Keith Tozer to represent the United States playing futsal. And I always
Hey, can you describe futsal for those who are listening who have probably, maybe haven't ever even heard that word before?
Right. Actually, what futsal is you play five-on-five. The field is the exact dimensions of a basketball court. You play with a very small soccer ball, which is probably about a size 3, between a size 3 and a size 4. But it's definitely very dense and heavy. So it's pretty much all skills. There's no walls, and it's a blast. It's a lot of fun. In my country, we actually call it baby football because it's all the dimensions are smaller than a bigger field, but it's definitely known around the world as futsal. And I saw it growing up, played it a lot with my friends, but never played it professionally until, like I said, 2000, where I was invited by Keith Tozer, our national team coach for the futsal team, to come into a camp and so he could look at me. And fortunately things worked out. I made the team, and our first big trip that I took with him was to Singapore, which was just a blast. There was, I think, 16 countries there. We didn't do as well as we wanted to. We didn't make it out of our bracket, but fortunately enough we got better and better over the years, and we just actually returned from Taipei, where we went to the Futsal World Cup. And that was just an unbelievable experience that I'll never forget.
So when you do this, what's kind of the difference between that and the indoor and the outdoor? Obviously the size, but are we looking for smaller players or quicker? Are you looking for big guys? What's the difference?
Well, you definitely see all sizes. Just like outdoor, you see all types of players there. I'd say for sure you're going to need a player that can definitely manipulate the ball with his feet, which, it doesn't matter whether you're big or small to do that. But you definitely need a player that's patient and believes in the game plan, because when you're playing futsal, there's definitely a lot of strategy involved. You have to be on the same page as a team to be able to break the other team down. It's almost like a chess game, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, let's jump back a little bit, and let's talk about the development of Johnny Torres and to be able to play on a national team with futsal and kind of, all those kind of things. So when you got to Creighton, you're a good player. Everybody's saying, hey, Johnny Torres, this guy could be something special. What were some of the things you worked on in particular that prepared you to go to the MLS?
Well, my size was always an issue, especially when I got to college. When I got to college, I was probably about 120 pounds.
It's not big.
5'6", 120 pounds. So there was definitely a lot of people that were doubting that I would be able to play Division I soccer. We'll see some guys that are 6'4", 6'3", 6'5", probably 185. You're not going to get into the 220s, not as a soccer player in Division I, I don't think.
But not very often.
Yeah, exactly.
There's those goalies.
Yeah, but definitely facing people that were a bit bigger than me. So my quickness was something that I had to work on. My decision making, I was trying to be a step ahead of my defender, which was something that I felt that I had to work on. And finally, definitely my finishing as a striker. And I will say that one person that helped me tremendously at Creighton University with my finishing, oddly enough, was actually a goalkeeper, which was Dana Taylor. Basically, he definitely helped me out by telling me what goalies expect in certain situations, and I always try to do the opposite because, of course, he was telling me what goalies do to stop shots, and I didn't want him to stop his shots since I was a striker.
Yeah.
So that was definitely three of the things that I definitely worked very diligently at Creighton.
So you have those 4 years. They're good years. Did you guys have much success as a team?
We did. We were always a very good team. We were always a powerhouse in our conference and in the country. We went to the tournament every year that I was at Creighton with a Final Four appearance my junior year, I believe, which was great. It was great experience. Unfortunately, we weren't able to come away with the national championship trophy, which would have been something to remember. But it was definitely a great year for us, and it's a year that I hold very dearly.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you get done with the last year, and you know, as you wind up that final year of school, you start to think, am I going to be able to play further on? What were some of the things that led to you getting into the MLS?
Well, you know what? Before, I'd say my freshman year, the MLS was not in existence yet. So
right.
I definitely knew that I wanted to work hard in these next 4 years in my education, and especially in soccer, and try and go play abroad somewhere. But then when I found out that there was going to be an American League, I was just delighted, you know, to be able to play here in the States, you know, in front of your family and in front of your fans would just be a blast, you know. And so once I realized there was an MLS that was going to be in existence, I started working towards that. I figured through the college soccer, through the Division I ranks, there had to be exposure for whatever the coaches that were going to be working for the MLS would be able to see you play. So I thought, hey, let me use this Division I as a stage, if you will, so I could be exposed out there for the MLS coaches. And fortunately enough, it worked out for my being drafted from New England.
So how did that work? I mean, some of us are kind of curious about that. It's not like ESPN where you're watching, you know, the draft on TV, you know, NBA, ESPN.
Right.
Yeah.
That, you know what? It's funny you say, because it's actually changed now. It's definitely a little closer to that now.
Okay.
Actually, this year's was actually televised on ESPN2, I believe, and it was ran on the internet, where they do kind of do the same format. But back when I was drafted, it was nowhere near that. We had an All-Star weekend where a bunch of players got called up, and we all got together on a weekend, and we played I believe a series of two games. And then what happens is you just go back to your hotel room, and you know the draft is going on, and you just cross your fingers and hope that your phone rings. And fortunately enough for me, my phone rang pretty early and kind of put me out of my misery and let me know that I was drafted by New England, where Thomas Rongen was giving me an opportunity to play soccer for a living.
Yeah. Very cool. So now you've made some transitions down the line, and you're playing Milwaukee now. What's led you to be there, and what do you kind of hope to get out of this experience that you're in right now?
Right. Like I said, I started out with New England and played four seasons there, and then I was traded to Miami, where I thought the year that Miami folded, actually I thought Miami was the best team in the league, and so it was unfortunate that team folded.
Mm.
I opted to try and stay in the MLS, but negotiations are pretty difficult there, being that it's a single entity. And so I was led more towards Minnesota Thunder, which at the time offered some great services for me, and I was able to do that. But in the A-League, most teams only offer six-month contracts.
Right.
And so, you know, being that I was used to playing in the MLS where you get a year-round contract, I was trying to make things work, and so what I did was I played for the Minnesota Thunder in the summer, and then I'd go straight to Indoor, which was in Milwaukee, for the Milwaukee Wave in the winter.
Yeah.
I did this for 2.5 years, where I was going back and forth, which, you know, even though the soccer was great, but the part of going back and forth was a little difficult. And so now currently, Milwaukee was able to get an outdoor soccer team, which was great. And that's what I did. I came over to Milwaukee and signed year-round to play both indoor and outdoor for Milwaukee. Unfortunately, this last outdoor season, the Milwaukee Wave United, which is the outdoor team, announced that they're taking a year off from the Division I league. And so
I'm imagining they're not paying you for that year off.
Actually, they are going to be helping us out. So what we're going to do is we're going to cross our fingers and make sure that hopefully that they can put a team back in the league.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, as kids listen to this and young coaches and coaches of interest, what was the most helpful thing that coaches were able to do for you in your development? Johnny? All right, we're on.
You know, I'd say the most influential coach for me was actually my father. He's definitely a guy that made sure that I wanted to work on my skills, on my developmenting, which was at times difficult, you know, being young. And sometimes you come home from school and you're a little tired or whatnot. But, you know, he knew that my dream was to be a professional soccer player, and he dedicated himself to make sure that I attained that goal. And so, you know, we were out there working every day along with my brother, and just working on the things that I commented on before was, you know, because I was a smaller player, I needed to work on my, you know, my fitness, my quickness, my ball control, my ability to go by people, and, you know, ultimately, hopefully putting the ball in the net since I was a forward.
Yeah. When you think about playing 5, 10 years from now, or maybe coaching, what are some things that you want to be remembered for as a player?
You know, as a player, I'd say number one and most importantly, I want to be remembered as a player that loved the sport. Always worked hard on the field. You know, whatever else comes after that, hopefully it's a plus. You know, we all want to be remembered for positive things. I also want to be remembered for, you know, a good human being, you know, being able to be influential off the field and kind of active in the community, which I think is important as a professional. I think we should all take that responsibility, whether you are an NBA player or an NFL player. You know, I think that we have a responsibility, being that we are on a pedestal and we do get, you know, some perks as professional athletes. We should definitely be leaders and positive role models for people that look up to us.
Hey, I was this is a bit of a tangent, but I was recently reading in National Geographic about Medellin, your hometown, and
yeah.
Just it's a rough place. And do you ever think about, do you have any connections back to there, and any thoughts about just kind of the circumstances in Colombia?
Right. You know, I'm definitely very proud that I'm from Medellin, and I love my country. It's a beautiful country, and the people there are beautiful people. Unfortunately, there's some poverty there, It's tough for our people in that country, you know, because there are some good people there, a lot of great people. But because of the poverty and the crime and the whole drug scene, it makes it a bit tough to live there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it hurts to see that, because like I said, there's great people there. It's a beautiful country, but it's just economically. It's suffering, and it's just going through a tough time right now.
Do you ever see yourself back there in any way?
I have all my relatives there. As far as going back there, I don't think that would happen. Not necessarily just because it's Colombia, but because I'm very content in America.
Sure.
I definitely believe it's the best country in the world. You know, and I'm saying that as a Colombian, you know, there's just so many opportunities in the States, and
right.
You know, I've probably been to about 14 different countries, and let's just say I'm always delighted to be back on American soil.
Awesome. Hey, that brings up just a short little thing. Did you ever have the opportunity to play for Colombia as a national team?
No, I did not. I became a citizen in the States. I became an American citizen, so once you do that, you know, you denounce the right to play for your native country.
Okay.
I will say that I was delighted when I played for our youth national teams with John Ellinger, another coach of mine that actually coached the youth national teams was Roy Reese.
Sure.
But John Ellinger, I had the opportunity to go to Italy and play in the World University Games, which was great. We placed third place there, which was great. And I got an opportunity to come in for the full team when Steve Sampson was the coach. Unfortunately, he gave me my one opportunity right around the time he was let go as national team coach.
That's a bummer.
But, there's no feeling like putting on your national team jersey and going out there and representing your country.
Hey, if you had one word, one piece of advice for young guys who are dreaming of playing professionally, what would you give them? That's it. Hey, I am Bernd Strom, the Strommer, and I am from SoccerSpecific.com in the boot room with Johnny Torres. It has been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing Johnny on his tour around the A-League this coming fall and summer. And, well, maybe it'll be a year from now since Milwaukee won't be playing. But it has been great to talk with you, Johnny, and farewell.
Thank you, Strom.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care.